in Jonah 1. Here's your little synopsis of Jonah. I kind of like it. Chapter 1 goes like this. Jonah, please. Jonah, please. God said go. Jonah said no. Ship sought. Ticket bought. Down deep. Fast asleep. Captain awoke. Prayer invoked. Lots cast. Jonah last. Questions popped. Jonah copped. Stormy sea, all about me. To calm the tide, it's over the side. Row and row, still too slow. 1, 2, 3, into the sea. Storm cleared, sailors feared. Jonah despaired, fish prepared. Sumptuous dish, belly of the fish. So there we go. I thought that was quite... Some pastor had too much time on his hands to write that, I'll tell you. So there we are. We are in Jonah. And I asked this question to the guy. I asked a lot of questions to at work. And I said, so why didn't Jonah just jump over the boat, out over the side? Why didn't Jonah just jump into the sea on his own? Pardon? Yes, it's always been a sin because it's self-murder. So murder's been sin, yes. But why didn't he do it? He was willing to have them throw overside. So there's not really an answer, but something I've been pondering. Why didn't he just go run and jump over the side and get let the sea get calm? Heart wasn't right. Maybe he didn't really want to die. Okay. Yes, it would be, yes. So there's no right or wrong answer. That's the first thing the guy said. Now, is there a right or wrong answer to this? I said, no. I just want to know what you think. So that's what it's asking for, what you think. And you gave that. That's what it asked for. We find the first three verses that he's paid the fare. He's gone down in Tarsus. I think the fare was far higher than he intended to pay. Nineveh is the greatest city, biggest city of the world at that time in that area, certainly, and it was a wicked city. I told someone today, the two ladies in the office, I said it would be similar to asking a prophet to go to Gaza and preach to the Hamas people embedded in Gaza, the ones that have been killed. That's the same kind of, that's how bad Nineveh was. It was a terrible people. They were rough. I found this, first we saw the man in his times, and I found this, there are unbiblical Jewish traditions. This is just a Jewish tradition, but I found this kind of interesting. One Jewish tradition says he's the widow's son whom Elijah restored to life. Another held that he was in some connection with a Jewish temple, even though he was from the north tribe of Zebulun. And another credited him with a successful mission to Jerusalem, similar to the one to Nineveh. He says none of these have any biblical support. They were apparently attempts to fit Jonah into other inspired stories and to glorify the prophet. And so, but there's traditions. The Jewish tradition obviously is not on the par with the Bible. However, if you know anything about Judaism, they do believe their tradition is on par with, their oral tradition is on par with the written word of God. Yeah. Yes. God's chastisement in verse 4, the Lord sends a great wind, a great tempest comes on, and the ship is likely to be broken. Interesting, if we exclude the miracles from our Bibles, how much of it do we have left? And more importantly, what kind of God do we have left if we have no miracles? There are several miracles in the book of Jonah itself. And so I trust that you see it beyond. It's not just a large fish swallowing a man and spitting him out 3 days later. It is God doing a lot of things. It's the greatest miracle, I believe, is the repentance of Nineveh, who was a wicked city and started with the king down. And that one slide had them all, if you saw it, but they were in sackcloth. And that's what happened. And they repented. That's the miracle we've seen. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, that's the miracle God has worked in your life. Has He not? Not He could. If you've got a bunch of broken bones and He heals them all and you're standing up straight again, the greatest miracle is your spirit giving eternal life. That's a great miracle. That's the greatest miracle. That's my personal opinion, but I think that would hold water in many places. Number one, I was reading again, application-wise. Let's look at the trouble we put those around us in. Speaking of Jonah, when we are in sin. When we are in sin, the question is asked, and I'm going to ask you to think about it for yourself. Would God hurl a storm into your home, Christian, because of your disobedience? Second, would God send a storm into your workplace because of your spiritual mutiny? And three, would God send a storm into your surroundings because of your relocation rebellion? Just something to think about. Spurgeon said, and I thought it's at the end here, but I want to read it. It fits in right at this very moment. He says, God never allows his children to sin successfully. So, I give you quotes. I don't mean if you agree with 100%, but there's a lot of good in that one. And I remember Mrs. Stevens told me a few years ago, Pastor Tim, you chew the meat, you spit out the bones. But if it gets you thinking, I like that whole quote, what does he mean by that? He means if you're truly a child of God, he's going to discipline you, chastise you to get you back in shape because he wants you holy rather than even healthy. That's what he wants from us. Jonah's shame, verse 6. Shall we go to the lesson? We shall. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? I think he's a little bit irritated at him. Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not his shame. He should have told him in the first place, this storm is causing me, take me back to Joppa, or drop me off in, town there closely, and let me get off the boat and go, get going back to where it's supposed to be. But he didn't do that. Jonah's blame then, 7, and they said unto one of his fellows, come, let's cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah of all things. And they said, then who, by the way, that's not a bad plan. On their part, that's not a bad plan at all, because it was so strong a storm, it's not a normal storm. It's not a normal storm. Sherry asked me tonight, she said, do you think that for our church size we have more sickness than other churches? I said, sometimes I think we do. I said, part of it too is that we are a praying church and we have a prayer list like this, so people from other churches can call and ask you to put their names on this. I like it. I like the fact that we are a praying, caring church. Do we have more than others? I think sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. But God knows all that. But regardless, we are to be a praying church. And so I want you to have compassion for other people. We need to have compassion for other people. And that's part of the compassion. So Jonah's blame. And verse 8, and then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? Do you think that Jonah had told them what he tells them here in verse 9, that they would have let him on the ship in verse 1? I don't think so. I'm running from God, the Lord of all. You're not getting on our ship. Just step away from the gangplank, because you are not coming. If I'd have been on there, I'd have said, no, no way, Jose, you're coming on here. There probably weren't any Hispanics by then at that time. Yes? That was the way of choosing things, yes. God superintended in the Bible, so it was even Jews did, and by God superintended, like Achan, Matthias, and Joseph Barsabbas there in Acts 1, replacement for Judas Iscariot. So at different times he would do that. Pardon? Well, that was like maybe that's their way of, we draw straws. We draw straws, or other ways. I know other ways. I always got the low end of the straw. My mom could pick it up, and she put those things in there, and the tops were all the same size, and they're just straight across, and you need to pick it out. Oh man, it's me again. So, Jonah's blame, and then so they asked Jonah a lot of questions. So he responds in 9. So that's Jonah's claim starting in 9. Interesting. I put in your outline what I thought was quite God's prophet was sleeping. Bottom of page, top of page 2, the sleep of self-complacency. While the heathen sailors were about to perish, they were praying to their gods while Jonah was not even praying. Why was Jonah not praying? Because he knew he was out of shape with God. So do you really want to pray when you know God's going to... Do you really want to hear from God when you know you're doing wrong? What do you do when you know you're going to do wrong? You sort of put the Holy Spirit in the back corner of your mind because you know you're doing the wrong thing, but I just don't want to think about that. I'm going to do my wrong thing, and when I get done, I'm going to confess it, and I'll let him back into my life. Yep. I think you're exactly right. I think if he thought he was going to, if he dies, Nineveh is not saved. But we talked about it a couple weeks ago. We, in our self-righteousness, the people that did all that murdering on October the 7th, they deserve to be killed and they deserve punishment for that. And so would you even want to witness to them? Would you want them to be saved? And that's not what we should desire to see, that all come to know Christ. If Jesus can say to the people, I know that everybody's involved, but the people who crucified, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. I think we can have a concern for those who don't exactly agree with us. Remember, they're not the enemy, per se. The enemy is Satan, who has so encompassed and sucked them into his plan that they're following him. He's the one we're fighting. Does the Bible not say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the, et cetera, it does. He did. Yes. If just 10, you can find 10, I'll save it. Yeah. Maybe he took Unisom. Unisom, or whatever that, there's a, what's that, something root, valerian root. If you take valerian root, we'll knock you out too, if you want to take valerian root. I don't know. But yes. So while Jonah is sleeping and not praying, they are praying and trying to find the answer. Jonah's claim, verse 9, it says in verse 9, and he said unto them, I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord. Now, stop right there. The L-O-R-D, is it in caps? That's the intrinsic name of God, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Tetragrammaton. I trust I've said it enough, you with that. That's the Y-H-W-H, et cetera, J-H-V-H, without the vowels in it. That's the Tetragrammaton. That's God's covenantal name, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. And look what the men do. And the men were what? Exceedingly afraid. It's got even gotten worse. Not only is the storm going so, but now we have this gentleman who is the servant of the God of all things and the sea and the dry land. So is a testimony of a backslider whose sin had imperiled the lives of those who had received him in their midst in good faith. The worst kind in your outline, page 2, the worst kind of company a man can keep is that of a backslidden believer like Jonah. He was a source of peril to everyone around him. I'm telling you, some of the most miserable people I've ever met is Christians who are backslidden and sideways with God. Because they know what they need to do, but they just don't want to do it. And that's because it takes W-O-R-K, takes confession, takes repentance, takes those kind of things that we just don't want to do. We don't want to admit that we need God's help or that we're sinners or that, etc. Jonah's stubborn resolve, verse 10. So the men are exceedingly afraid, and he said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the whom? The Lord, the covenantal God of Israel, because he had told them, they said unto him, what shall we do thee unto thee? That the sea may be calm unto us, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Matter of fact, it said in verse 4, the ships might be close to breaking. It's like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is come, or is upon you. A start. I see a smidgen of repentance. Do you not see a smidgen of repentance? It's me. It's me. No, I'm not saying he's always repentant yet. I'm just saying it's at least an acknowledgement that he has done wrong. And nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it into the land, and they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. A couple of questions here. First of all, his decision. Number one question, what could Jonah have done to stop the storm? Other than asking the sailors to throw him over, he could have stopped the storm by submitting, I believe, to God's will. Take me back. Jump me over and he'll provide a fish to ride. Getting right with God. That's what he's looking for. That's what God's looking for. Get right with me. Do what I've asked you to do. Now, what did Jonah show about his attitude both toward God and the people by choosing suicide? That's what he was choosing. I would rather disobey God and commit suicide so the people God called me to preach to never hear the gospel. Of course, now that was, if you remember in Bible times, in Old Testament times, If you were a Christian, if you were a believer, you had to become Jewish. You had to be a Jewish proselyte because the Jews were the carrier. I mean, they're the people of God's word. They were the, I don't want to call it, but they were the keeper of God's word, if you would. And so if you wanted to become a Christian, follow Jehovah, pretty much you had to come under the Jewish umbrella. Church starts, and no longer is Judaism the religion. Now we have the church. And that's why it's such a big, difficult time for the Jewish people to break away from Judaism. And they're the cat's meow. I mean, if you're going to trust Jehovah, you gotta follow what we say. Now, we're following what Jesus Christ had said. And so that's why the Acts of the Apostles was such an important book. The bridge between the Gospels, Judaism, and then the church. And so that was a struggle with that. Philip says, the only honest thing Jonah could have said was, Captain, take me back to Joppa or Antioch. Land me in Antioch on the way to Nineveh. Such a statement would have indicated the prophet's repentance and the storm would have ceased. I think I'll turn my computer and see if we can get going again and just show you this one picture. If it will come on while we are still going through our lesson and we will see here. If not, we won't see it. Well, that makes really a lot of sense, doesn't it? Let us get this map here. That's not what I want. Is it coming on yet? It is coming on. Okay, hold your horses there. You got something. You got a minute break to take just a breather. You got a breather break. Breather break. Okay, come on, work with me, not against me. Here we go. Here, there we go. Oh, there we go. That's not what I want. Let's see. Right about here. Here. Oh, no, I want this one. So, if you're looking up here, just to give you an inkling what we're talking about, Joppa, where he goes down to, he lives up in here, goes down. Nineveh is only, like, it's a five, you know, a long walk. Tarshish, they believe, is the bottom part of Spain. So he is going as far away from here as he can pop 2,500 miles, 550 miles. So he's figuring by the time he gets over to here, if he lives, there's not going to be anybody going to go to here and tell Nineveh that, repent. So that's, again, I don't want to read too much between the lines because what God has said is our authority. We know he's rebelling against God. We know God's called him to go here and he heads the opposite direction. Just about as far as you can go away from where he's supposed to go. And so let's get that a little bit higher. I can see a couple stretches there. So let's maybe get a little bit higher here while we're here. And then you can see it a little better. And we'll leave it up there just for you to peruse. Ooh, that's even worse. There we go. There we go. All right. You can see it. That's what it is. Shall we go on? We shall. Lack of repentance. Jonah's heart. Let's continue on. Why hast thou done this in verse 10? Why are you doing this? They thought they knew enough to understand that a person must not, indeed, cannot run away from his God. Are people today trying to run away from God? I believe that they are. God, we run from God as Christians even. We know what we need to do. God's changed your wanter. You say, well, Pastor, I don't think I could ever teach Sunday school or ever sing in the choir or ever drive a bus or ever do blah, blah, blah. As you walk with God, He will change your wanter. I told my wife I'd never want to be a pastor, but as I got my master's degree, and then the Lord kept working my heart, He changed my wanter. Well, I think this is what God has called me to do, and et cetera. It's 1997 I first became a pastor. It certainly was not my first choice coming out of college. I said, I was going to be on the staff of church, direct music, et cetera, but to become a master, my father-in-law, my dad's pastor, doesn't want to do that. But honestly, if you'll trust God, He will give you the strength to do what He calls you to do. And He will change it to where you like it. So, my wife will never like Diet Mountain Dew, but I'm telling you, God can work in your heart to where you will enjoy teaching Sunday school or enjoy teaching Bible school. And listen, you younger folks, you're the church of tomorrow. If the Lord doesn't come back in the next week, we're going to fade off the scene. We just lost one Monday. We're going to be gone. And it is up to you to continue on to step in. Somebody going to fill Gary's shoes. Jonah answers, throw me overboard. It's my fault. His doom then. And number two is his doom. Were the sailors pleased at the idea of throwing him overboard? No, they were not. They tried everything they possibly could do. They rowed hard, verse 13, to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea was wroth and was tempestuous against them. God was saying, no, you're not going to do it. There's got one solution. Jonah's the key. You got to do with Jonah. I like what Constable says. The sailors, page 3, initially rejected Jonah's advice and compassionately chose to drop him off at the nearest landfall. They strained every muscle for Jonah's sake, literally digging their oars into the water. Do sometimes unbelievers act more morally right than Christians? Yes. Shame on me when that happens. Shame on me. And you just turn it about yourself. I just won't say it. Shame on you, but you think about it. We are to be setting the example. I had difficult, the Lord just working me over where I'm working, but just handling things right, because I wanted to say some things I just shouldn't say. But He's like, listen, you need to do this. I mean, this, and this, or don't come. If you're not going to work, don't come to work. You go somewhere else. That's what I wanted to say. You are either coaching someone up, or you're coaching them out. I'm about to the coaching out stage with this. But I said, the person responded so well. Maybe the Lord's put me here for that one person, teaching me. Maybe He's put him there. Maybe He's put this person here because I need it. Not so much because he needs it. And then if I will get my Jonah heart right, then maybe this person will get there. Heart right too. You see, the first thing I look for is Jeremy's the problem. Jeremy's fault. And I don't want to deal with Jeremy's just. It's me. Jeremy, I want you to grow in the Lord so much. Praise the Lord for you, Jeremy. And we all would say that. You are why we have a church and preach the gospel. And I'm just not trying to. But you have. And that should be all of us. That's why we're all here, is it not? That we share and encourage. And sometimes it's me. The Lord has some person into your life that's going to be, is this really going to bring you up short? Well, you know what? That person there is probably because I am too hot-headed or I am too rational or something. And that person has been brought into my life. Missionaries, they're going to the field. God wants often to work on the missionary. Possibly far more than the people he's going. Because if they were to send you across the world as a missionary, would it be good or bad? Your spirit, you and your spirit go to Brazil. Would you be a blessing? Pastor, would you be a blessing? Yes, exactly. You see what I'm saying? So often I can tell you all your faults. And you can certainly point out mine if I give you time. That's not the purpose. The purpose is that we see what God's trying to work in us to make us from glory to glory. He's changing my wife. No. From glory to glory, He's changing me that I may become more like Him. And if it means you have to have some thorns in your side, Paul had prayed. I found it interesting that Paul was in heaven. And the Lord said there's two, and his people died and gone to heaven. Here's what heaven looks like. God wouldn't even let Paul write about it. And they're going to tell me about what heaven looks like? I'm kind of doubtful about that. But God wants us to be like Him. Jonah lost that vision for a while. Then he gets it back for time. That's not in your notes anywhere. What brought the sailors to the point of being willing to toss Jonah? The unrelenting. I'll tell you what. It's God. God brought them. No matter what they did, nothing's going to work because God's in this, and He's going to work until you get with the program, or you put on the shelf. I remember when I went to Bible Truth Music, had vocal nodules, and I told my wife, I've been put on the shelf. I had vocal nodules, couldn't preach anymore. Working in a music company, I said, I just feel I'm put on the shelf. I feel God's just put me on the shelf for a while. And then the Lord healed my throat. And in 2011, I got to start pastoring again. So I feel like, this is what I should be doing. Sometimes there's a lesson there for me. I'm not sure I learned it. And I hope I learned it. Probably didn't learn it. Probably forgotten it sometimes. Why did Jonah then not end his own life? And that's the question 4A. Why didn't he just run, jump, dive over the side? Because he knows who the problem is. But why don't we sometimes dive on our knees? Stubbornness. Don't want to repent. I don't want to get right. I don't want to go through the humility before God of what it's going to take to admit. I told Sandy just yesterday, she came in, you know, Tim, she said, you got your codes wrong for your time card this week. I said, I did? She goes, yeah. Are you sure it's me and not, you? she said, I don't think it was, but I'll go check. About 30 seconds, Tim, it was you. I said, oh, you're right. So I'm trying to find, I said, I hate to be wrong. I hate making mistakes. Well, you did. You did. And you know, sometimes we need to tell the Lord, you know, I'm wrong. He's always right. If it's wrong, it's me. It's wrong. If I have a wrong attitude toward Jeremy or Bud, or here's the problem. Not there and there. It's right here. So, I don't know. I got off track, but I think it's what I needed to hear. And I was thinking about my situation today. Maybe this person I'm working with is there for me. And then maybe then I can be there for him. And that's, I think we all are going to face that sometimes. Let us pray. Lord, we just, I must tell you, Lord, I'm in need of you in this situation. The flesh wants to rear its ugly head so many times. And yet we have very possibly this relationship is that I would grow, that I would be right, that I would learn. So Lord, in all these things we have in our lives, Lord, I know there's some people in our church going through tremendously difficult things. May we turn to you. May we not turn away. Jonah turned away. Bad, bad plan. If we learn nothing else from tonight, may we learn that turning to you in humility is the only way to have the peace of God that passeth understanding. So Lord, help us this night. Help us with our family, with our spouses, with our children, and with our co-workers and our neighbors. May we live for you. May others see Jesus in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.